The New York Knicks are up 2-0 on the Philadelphia 76ers and now head to Philadelphia in what is going to be a cage match. We'll go through a game two recap and then preview game three, which is on Thursday. Let's do it. They're playing
basketball. Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation Podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? I'm your host, Anthony, joined by my co-host, Chris. This is another live edition of the Knicks Nation Podcast, episode 47. Creeping up there, Chris. Getting there, but
almost at 50.
Let's do it. And look, game two, wow, what a game that was. We all witnessed pretty much history and a historic night in MSG, Chris. And wow, but what's going on, man? How are you tonight?
I'm great, man. I am great. The New York Knicks are up 2-0 against the 76ers. Look, man, I'm still in shock from the past game, man. I mean, I know you did the post game. You were going crazy. All of Knicks Nation was going crazy. Unbelievable end to that game, man. Look, I'm still in disbelief, but it happened, right? The New York Knicks somehow pulled out that game two in what seemed like a game that was over, man. But I feel great, man. How about you, man? How you feeling?
That game was absolutely incredible, man. Obviously, a lot to dissect. The last two-minute report came out literally a couple hours ago and then pretty much said the Knicks committed a bunch of fouls and whatnot. But what I love is that Tyrese Maxey pretty much gave no excuses. He had an interview with, I think, the TNT crew and said, look, they had opportunities to win that game. It didn't happen. And look, what I say is, look, the basketball gods, they've arrived, right? People said, why are the Knicks getting the two seed and they should tank for this, tank for that? This is why you don't tank for anything, man. The basketball gods have arrived and it's just been an awesome start to this series. We're up 2-0. Job not finished, though. We still got work to do. But in that game, look, Jalen Brunson is shooting 29% in this series so far and 2 of 12 from 3. But he had a big shot there at the end of the game, kind of bounced right in. And I guess we could start there, Chris. The Knicks are 2-0 without their best player playing at an MVP level, right? They're 2-0 without JB playing at his prototypical top five MVP level. You're getting contributions from pretty much everybody, man. The starting five has been playing really well. Dante and Ihart, first game, game one, they didn't really play well. Second game, what happened? They flipped the switch. That's the beauty of this Knicks team, the depth. And then you got, you know, Bogdanovich and Deuce had big game ones. Even game two, I thought Bogdanovich hit some timely threes there. And Mitch, big game one, game two, you know, he's still a presence out there. So, Chris, JB, 29% this series so far, 2 of 12 from 3. Concerning or, you know, you think the New York Knicks can kind of figure something out with JB?
Well, man, I'm not going to lie. It is concerning. It is concerning. I mean, we saw that trend already throughout the regular season, even with, you know, with Jalen Brunson versus the 76ers, right?
Yeah.
He seems to have trouble with the length. Look, they got a lot of guys to throw at him. They got Oubre. They got Batum. You know, hell, even Maxey is a very underrated defender, you know. So they're making JB work, man. I got to give credit to the 76ers because they are doing exactly what they should do. And that's trying to take the head off the snake, which is Jalen Brunson. And they're doing a pretty damn good job, man. It's kind of strange, though, because we're not used to seeing Brunson like this, right? He looks uncomfortable. You see him frustrated as hell out there, you know, hanging his head. You know, just the body language doesn't look great, obviously, and that's not what we're accustomed with Jalen Brunson, right? But I will say this. Throughout the past two games of this series, well, first two games of this series, you see Josh Hart, you see Dante DiVincenzo, you see Mitch Ihart. All the guys out there are just going to Brunson and going, keep shooting, man. You got this. You're going to snap out of it. They're just propping him up over and over and over again. And they're coming through for him, more importantly. So while I am concerned about Jalen Brunson, you know, he's not giving you that prototypical production we're used to and got accustomed to. I mean, he's still dropping 20 plus. It's not as efficient as we'd want it to be, obviously, but he's still doing, you know, he's still doing his part. When he, even though his offense isn't there, he's still creating good shots for other guys. Assists are up. He's getting boards, still putting his body on the line, drawing those charges. So, you know, I personally think come game three, Jalen Brunson is going to have one of those trademark Jalen Brunson games and win us one by himself. What do you think?
No, well said. Look, JB, the length is bothering him. It is bothering him. There's a reason why this year versus Philly, I think he's shooting. It's a low percentage. I'm not sure. I don't have the right numbers in front of me, but it's a low percentage because they're putting guys that are 6'7", 6'8", on JB. And the Knicks have done, you know, they've done like a fairly good job on trying to get him away from those matchups. And then he gets, you know, Maxey switches up on him. But like you said, Maxey has kind of improved his defense, especially game one. I thought Maxey really did a good job on JB. But I feel like it's going to come. Look, the guys are going to go down to Philadelphia and it's going to be a gauntlet, right? They're going to say, I have an over-under, like over-under how many free throw attempts you think Joel Embiid is going to attempt that game, like 15. Like the NBA and with, I hope it's not the case, but it's a hostile look. It's a crazy environment, but the beauty is that we've won there this year. The guys are comfortable playing in Philly. They played there when they were in Villanova a few times a year. So it's not like it's an environment where they're not, you know, comfortable with, you know, the lights or the rims or, you know, the fans or not. We've done it this year. So the beauty of, you know, the 7-game series, the beauty of what the position that where the Knicks are right now is that they're up 2-0. And essentially you want to go in there and just take one, right? You want to go in there, take one, and then you play. What Philadelphia doesn't want to do is go down 3-0. Like, they're going to throw everything at this game three. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at the New York Knicks. They're going to try everything. And they've been going zone out of their time, out of the TV breaks, kind of trying to get the Knicks out of their game. And it has worked at times. The Knicks have combated that with putting Bogdanović in there. And when Bogdanović is in here, I think it really opens up the floor. And he's made some big shots, some high arcing shots. But in terms of JB, no, I mean, my concern meter with him is like at like 10%. Like, I'm not really concerned about it. I know he's a stud. I know at the end of the day he's gonna play. He's probably in the gym right now, just working on some stuff. That's our warrior. That's our guy. And I'm not concerned about JB. But Chris, OG Anunoby. Can you believe that OG Anunoby and then we're 22-3 in the OG Anunoby era? 22-3. And
crazy.
In the first couple of games in this series, OG, he hasn't had the big scoring game, right? But I feel like he's doing a little bit of everything out there. Had a big rebound when Hartenstein blocked the Maxey layup attempt. Hit two big free throws there at the end, clutch free throws. So that's not by accident. 22-3 with OG Anunoby. And even though he's not providing, you know, these big blow-up scoring outputs, he's giving you length on defense. He's doing his thing on the defensive end. We're seeing kind of Maxey kind of maybe too quick for him, you know, in terms of like OG guarding him. They know how to get OG off of him right away. Just pick and roll. And then a lot of times you see OG kind of chasing Maxey. And look, Maxey has had a great couple of games here. So, look, 22-3 with OG Anunoby. But, I mean, offensively, do you think that, you know, we can get more out of him? Because I tweeted this on the Knicks Nation page. I feel like if we can get OG involved more on the offensive end, I feel like then we can, you know, reach another level. I mean, I'm getting kind of crazy here. We're up 2-0. But there's always room for improvement, right? At the end of the day. So,
yeah. No, look, I agree. I kind of want OG Anunoby to be more aggressive offensively, you know, with what we're getting from Jalen Brunson, which again, for most guys, what Jalen Brunson's giving you, obviously not as efficient, but 20 plus points is always welcome.
Yeah.
But with, you know, the way the 76ers are just keying on Brunson, double teaming, triple teaming, you know, I'd like to see OG Anunoby step up, you know, just take a couple more shots. And it's weird to say that because I think he's taken in the past two games, he's taken about 10 shots around that range. And he's been efficient for the most part, you know, 4-for-10, 5-for-10.
Yeah, not forcing it.
I want a little bit more, you know, because obviously OG Anunoby, he's not going to demand the ball or anything, but I want to see him more aggressive. I want to see him drive, you know, drive to the paint, try to dunk it on Embiid, you know, see if Embiid's going to jump at you, you know, try to draw a foul or something, you know, get revenge for that crazy oop Embiid, you know, threw down on you.
Yeah.
I would like OG Anunoby to be just more aggressive, take a couple more shots, maybe take the attention off of JB a little bit, if that's even possible. But, you know, you can't underestimate his impact on the defensive end for obvious reasons. You know, he's elite. But what do you think? I mean, as far as him guarding Maxey, I saw the same thing. He's chasing Maxey a lot of times. He's getting hit by the screens, not able to recover because Maxey's just speed-wise is at another level. You know, and you know, Embiid sets these crazy picks. OG's not able to really get around them as cleanly as he'd probably want to, and then Maxey's just off to the races.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, I want Dante DiVincenzo on Maxey because we saw, even in game two, he did a hell of a job on Maxey for the most part. And maybe you have OG Anunoby with the help defense instead, you know? That way he's not chasing around Maxey. Maybe he gets more steals that way. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we kind of saw a little bit of that, but I think they're going to – look, he's going to try to bother him. He's a great defender. They're not going to deviate from, you know, their plan. And, look, their plan has worked. We're up 2-0, you know? But – Maxey's a great player. He's going to get his points. You know, he hasn't been going to the free throw line as much as he's accustomed to. But, yeah, OG, look, I'm not like there's a few times where he hit some mid-range jumpers in game two, getting to his spots in the mid-range. I feel like he can do that more. Like, I feel like he can do that way more because Philly's role players haven't stepped up at all. And I know when we're going to go down to Philly, that's usually when role players play well is at home. So expect their role players to, you know, step up, right? Buddy Hield has been a no-show. Tobias Harris, really, he's not been good for them at all. Batum hasn't been good for them in this series. They're getting great. The thing about this is that they're getting great scoring outputs from Embiid and Maxey. They're two studs. But if nobody else is going to help them and nobody else has helped them, it's going to be a short series for them. And I feel like the New York Knicks, look, like game three is going to be crazy. Like, but one of them, I'm expecting one of them to show up. And, but what regarding OG, look, he's playing, what, 30? He hasn't hit 40 minutes a game, 36 minutes in game two, 31 minutes in game one, 11 points, 10 points, but efficient. 5-10 in game one, 4-10 in game two, 0-3 from three-point land, 4 rebounds in game two, 4 rebounds in game one. The steals numbers haven't been there because he's been kind of chasing Maxey a little bit. So,
yeah,
I'm not too concerned about that. But yeah, so I'm not gonna go crazy because I know Maxey's gonna get his points either way. So it's just trying to. There's been times when the Knicks have kind of like when Embiid is in the post, they've kind of thrown another defender at Embiid, kind of to double team him. And at first I didn't like that, but if their role players are not going to hit their open shots, like Oubre has been a ghost too. So, and what Embiid has shown us is that he's still, even on one leg and now one eye, like apparently there's something wrong with his eye. He's still going to give you great numbers. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, though, that you what you just mentioned about Kelly Oubre. I thought he was going to be more of an offensive focus for the 76ers, especially with, you know, Embiid being a little bit hobbled and you know, Maxey garnering more attention as well. I thought that third option was going to be Kelly Oubre offensively, and we haven't seen that yet. I mean, whether he takes more of an offensive role in, you know, game three is to be seen, but does that surprise you a little bit, or is it just a byproduct of, hey, man, I'm chasing around Jalen Brunson.
There you go.
All over this court. And go. I really don't want to jack up shots right now.
That's exactly what my retort was going to be. He's guarding JB majority of the game. He's exerting a lot of energy. Only played 26 minutes in game two. This is Kelly Oubre we're talking about. And he's not attempting threes. No three-point attempts in game two. Two in game one. So they're going to have to – they're going to make their adjustments. They're going to switch. But he's exerting a lot of energy guarding Jalen Brunson. So – and with that energy comes – you see his offensive numbers haven't been – outputs haven't been great. So,
yeah,
you know, look, 29% for JB, it's not good. It's not good. 2 of 12 from three, but hit a big shot in game two that led to that sequence. Chris, when you saw that sequence, right, like – first of all, on the post game, I said that credit to the referees for letting it go. I personally didn't really think, because Maxey in that sequence pushed off of Josh Hart before the ball was being inbounded. And then Jalen Brunson kind of tugged on Maxey's jersey. And Maxey kind of, Josh Hart kind of bumped him and he kind of just fell down and lost the ball. And then obviously today, the last 2 minute report came out. But when you saw that crazy sequence, right? Hartenstein with the first of all, if you're Philly, if you're gonna complain about no foul calls, how about box someone out, number one? Because Hartenstein flying in there and you're not, I don't think Embiid had a rebound in the fourth quarter. I think he had no rebounds, possibly
the second half, I think.
Yeah, so box someone out, man. I mean, you're Embiid after the game, head down. We're still gonna win this series. I still got faith in the guys. We are the better team. These are exact quotes from Joel Embiid. He's the leader of their team. He's going to try to play mind games and credit. I mean, that's what he has to do to rally the troops. But, yeah, when you saw that transpire, like, what was your emotions? Because it was an absolute crazy feeling. Like
emotions, man, emotions. Yeah. That sums it up right there, basically. You know, look, I was – probably like most Knicks fans, right? I was like, damn, like, this game is over. Yeah. I was already coming to grips with it. I was like, man, they stole one from home. This is a series. You know, this is going to be a battle to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But look, they were scrambling for that ball. Maxey fell down right there. I thought the whistle was going to blow. I'm not even going to lie to you. As soon as he fell down, because let's be real, 76ers have been getting those calls. They've been getting those calls. Obviously, no whistle was called. Refs let them play. To be honest, I felt like it was a makeup for the overturned Dante foul where he got smacked in his face by Kyle Lowry. And there was one, I don't know how you even overturned that when he clearly got hit in the face. So yeah. I thought it was just a makeup call at that point. And the rest is history, right? Somehow the Knicks pull out. I mean, Dante DiVincenzo hits one of the clutchest shots ever, man.
Ever.
After a scramble and a half. So, look, you know, they can cry all they want about the refs and about, you know, being upset about the officiating. But, look, for the most part, on both sides, game one and game two, there's been some really egregious calls, whether that's going against the 76ers or against the Knicks. In my opinion, it's been pretty even. But yeah, the refs, in my opinion, are not doing the greatest job. But again, I don't think it's the point where, you know, did the 76ers get screwed? Yes, but you can also say the Knicks also got screwed at the same time too. Because let's be real, if that foul was not overturned on Dante, I believe that put the 76ers, you know, over the foul limit.
Yeah.
And that would have been a totally different, you know, game down the stretch with them being in the foul limit. You know, you're talking about a team that at that point can't be as aggressive as they were being, and that changes things. So You can look at it multiple ways, man. But as far as emotions, roller coaster, man. Sad, happy. Sad when Dante missed the three that potentially could have put us up initially. Then he hits the three after that. Oh, my God. Insane. Insane, man. I'll probably never forget this game.
That one of the all-time great playoff games ever. One of the all-time great Knick games ever. In Madison Square Garden, we witnessed. But that's the beauty of, look, that's the New York Knicks, man. It's always been next man mentality, next man up. I have a bad game in game one. Game two, I'm going to flip the script and have a great game. Dante and Ihart. Hartenstein in that fourth quarter was absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And Embiid this series, 2-8 from three in game one, 2-9 from three in game two, shooting like 23% from three. He doesn't want to take the ball to the rack. Like I said, they're trying to get him involved early. And during this game, again, Chris, back-to-back games, game one and game two, the Knicks have kind of started off slow. And the 76ers have kind of, you know, they start fast. They want to get Embiid the ball. Maxey's doing his thing in the first quarter. But what has killed the 76ers has been the non-Embiid minutes. And they're trying to figure out. I saw in game two, they were trying to stagger Embiid and Maxey a little bit. And they're trying to figure out when Embiid is off the court, they're losing. They can't keep up with the Knicks. They can't. They don't have enough scoring. So that's one thing I noticed about, like, that's why they're starting so quickly, is because they're trying to get him involved more, and he's doing a heck of a job. He's in two good games from Embiid on one leg, but when he's coming off the court is when they're starting to, I mean, they can't score. And when you have Bogdanovich playing like the way he's playing, Josh Hart, I mean, Chris, we haven't mentioned Josh Hart yet, but this guy, man, what he has done these first couple of games has been incredible. 48 minutes yesterday. Game one, 22 points, 13 rebounds. He's leading the series in rebounds. He's 6'5". Embiid is 7'2". 15 yeah. rebounds game one, 21 points. 4 of 8 from 3 in game one, 4 of 7 from 3 in game two. Josh Hart. Josh freaking Hart. Amazing.
Josh Hart.
I can't stop him.
I'm still going to go back to game one where he was having a rough game and then turned it around, hitting clutch shot after clutch shot in that game. And just look, basically a big factor in our game one win. Then game two, again, same thing. If it wasn't for Josh Hart going out there and basically looking like, you know, Steph Curry out there, basically draining almost all his 3-point shots. You know, I think he was, what, 4-for-7 in game two from three. Yeah. Single-handedly kept us in that game, because that game, man, without Josh Hart, that would have been a blowout. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
we would not have had the chance to win it at the end like we did. So Josh Hart, man, he's look, playing so many damn minutes, being effective still, hitting clutch shot, playing defense. Not getting tired, man. This dude is—he's a machine, man. He is a machine out there. Like that's the only thing I can think of. Like I've never seen a player literally. You never see him sit, and if he does, it's like a minute. So I think that's insane, man. I mean, it's a testament to Josh Hart, the hard work he puts in, and now we know why he doesn't practice, right? Play so many damn minutes.
Look,
doesn't need to.
I mean, when you compare, this is why all Knicks fans pretty much pick the Knicks, man. When you compare our role players to the Sixers role players, it's night and day, man. These guys are built for the moment. These guys have been doing this last year we saw them do it. This year they're taking it. It's culture, right, Chris? This is what we've been talking about. The Knicks have a culture. They have an identity. You know, they may not have the most talented team, but every single player knows their job. And if you look at the guys at the back of our bench that are not playing, Precious, not playing. But if he needs to play, if he steps in, he's going to give us good minutes. You know, Bogdanovich, when he comes in, knows his role, hitting his threes. Deuce actually manhandled Tyrese Maxey in game two, by the way. Took that ball away from him. I love that.
I love that. It gave me flashbacks to Zion ripping the ball out of Kevin Knox's hands. Yeah. You know, But it was nice to be on the opposite end of that for once. But man, and yeah, Deuce McBride, man, you know, going in there, out muscling Maxey, and also another player that, look, when he's called, he's delivering for us.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, it's a testament to the coaching staff. It's a testament to the players all buying in and just real, you know, trying to accomplish what the bigger picture is, you know, obviously winning a championship and I think more so competing at the highest level they possibly can. And when you got guys like that are just unselfish, I mean, in my opinion, sky's the limit, right?
Sky's the limit. Got a poll in the YouTube chat. The Knicks are 2-0 in this series. How long will this series go? 22 votes so far. Knicks in 4. I brought out the broom yesterday for the post game. I was kind of, you know me, I don't want to, you know, get too ahead of myself, but I was just feeling so happy after that win. I was on, whew, it was crazy.
I think that's the time to do it, man. I mean, yeah. With a win like that, they're lucky we weren't over at MSG, man. We'd probably be crowd surfing out there.
Man, man, Knicks in 5 at 50%. So Knicks in 6 at 14%. Knicks in 7 at 5%. 22 votes in that YouTube poll. Look, Philly doesn't want to go down 3-0. They go down 3-0, it's over. It is over. But I have stats here, some stats here that I'm going to show you guys that prove that it could be just over right now. It could be. Stats with a playoff series when a team goes up 2-0. How many teams won their series after having a 2-0 lead? 416. 92%. So the Knicks have a 92% chance of advancing. Wow. So first round, 93% chance. 183 teams have gone on to win a best of seven series, and 13 teams have blew an 0-2 lead in the first round, Chris. This is from landofbasketball.com. So you go up 2-0. You're kind of playing with house money down there in Philadelphia. You steal one. You know, maybe you come back 3-1 in the Garden, then close it out on your home court in Madison Square Garden. And that would be glorious right there. Obviously, a sweep would do wonders in the city, would do absolutely, like, the city would go crazy if we sweep them. Then everyone will talk about, oh, you picked the Sixers? Okay. Look, this is your prototypical, look, Knicks are a 2 seed. They're not the 2 seed for no reason, man. They're not. So. Those numbers there, Chris, 93%, man.
Hey, man, I like those percentages. And like you said, the Knicks, they earned that 2 seed, man. I'm getting tired of hearing, you know, the Knicks, you know, like Reed, Paul Reed said, oh, the easier team, whatever. Look, I'm tired of hearing that the Knicks did what they had to do to get that 2 seed. You know, everybody forgets we lost how many starters? How many starters did we lose at one point?
Yep.
I mean, you're talking about three huge guys when you look at it as a whole. Like, you cannot just dismiss the Knicks as just, like, you know, some underdog that overachieved. You know, in my opinion, the Knicks earned the 2 seed, battled just like Cleveland did, just like, you know, 76ers, Miami, all the teams in the Eastern Conference. You know, we earned that 2 seed. So the disrespect has to stop, man. And look, 76ers are finding it out now. You know, Knicks are going to battle to the end. We're going to win crazy games at the last second, apparently. And look, I think the goal for the Knicks going forward is to steal a game at Philly. That has to be the goal, you know?
It's not over yet. I hope it's not.
It's not over. Not by a long shot. Yep. Look, 76ers are going to come to play. You know, Embiid is going to lay it all on the line. Maxey's going to give it all he's got. And look, these two guys for the 76ers, they have been playing well, man. Embiid has been scoring more so than I thought he was. You know, granted, it seems like a first half type of thing. But look, imagine if he was healthy, man. That it could be a whole different series. But look, man, we got to steal one at Philly. That has to be the goal. We can't show up and just... I know you said house money, but I want them to come in there with a killer mentality and just take any hope that the 76ers might have away.
Go up 3-0. It's a wrap. It is a wrap. Hit some of these comments in the YouTube chat. Appreciate every single one of you hopping in here. If you haven't done so already, smash the subscribe button. And yeah, Big Tass, what's going on, man? Big Tass says, Oh, yeah, when Brunson goes back to form, it's curtains for the 76 excuses. Love that, man. Excuse making. I'm still seeing from the 76ers fan, like, we're still the better team. The Knicks have just gotten lucky. But it's at this point, it's just lazy. It's just lazy takes, man. I get you're hurt. You're upset. You're down 0-2. You see the Knicks' best player not playing well. And you're still losing. And you're trying to scramble to figure out ways to stop Hart. I guarantee you Josh Hart wasn't in their game plan coming into this series. I guarantee you their game plan was just to leave Josh Hart open and maybe box him out.
Yep.
But
they're trying to do the Miami. They're trying to do the Miami. They're trying to do what the Cavs tried to do, basically, last playoffs. And look, credit to Josh Hart because I think he even said it. I knew they were going to leave me open. I practiced my three-point shots. So, hey, there you go. Goes to show you what some practice does.
Yeah, I heard he flew out with his trainer or shooter to New York, and he's been practicing on his shot. So, yeah.
There you go.
Credit to him. Johnson says we should not be over-optimistic. The unmet performance of Brunson is a big problem. It seems not easy for him to find a way. What do you say for that, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, look, we touched on that. Brunson is shooting what? What'd you say, 29%?
29%, yeah, not good.
Yeah, 29%. Look, I mean, that last three he hit in game two, huge. I know that was a load off his shoulders just to see the ball go in. You know, something that wasn't a free throw, something that wasn't, you know, just something that he created basically off the dribble. Yeah. Because the 76ers, like I mentioned, hell of a job on Brunson, man. Nick Nurse has a hell of a game plan to take him out of the picture, to bother him, and it's working. So, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, but like I mentioned, this series is not over. It's far from over. I do think Brunson is due for a big game against the 76ers where he's just going to figure it out, you know, and that's what I'm thinking he's going to do. I mean, that's what I think he's doing right now, you know? Games coming up. But Brunson is definitely in the lab.
What do you think?
Probably getting as tall of a defender as he can to practice with him and just find those angles, find those ways that he can use that footwork to do some damage against Philly.
What do you think needs to change on Brunson's end or the Knicks end to kind of get him in open spots? Because when he's open, he's missing because he's short, because he's exerting a lot of energy just trying to get open. And he's still getting to the free throw line at a nice rate, but look, these 1 of 6 from three in both of these games, 1 of 6 in game one, 1 of 6 in game two, 2 of 12, 16%, shooting 80% from the free throw line. And even at the end of the season, you know, it's 14 for 30 from the field, 10 of 25 versus Brooklyn, 40%, 3 of 7 from three, 1 of 4 to close out the season. So we all know Brunson and his hot start that he had, but, you know, when he has his three-point shot going, when he hits those big momentum shifts threes, it's a killer instinct. But what do you think the Knicks need to do to kind of, I don't know, get him going, you know? Because he's attempting a lot of shots, 29 field goal attempts, 26 field goal attempts. So
yeah.
Do you feel he needs to scale it? Do you feel like he needs to scale it back a little bit and maybe give 5 of those shots to OG, maybe more shots to Devo if his shot isn't falling, and maybe get his assist numbers up?
I mean, I think he's doing pretty good, you know, assist-wise, but I thought in game two he definitely forced up a lot of shots. I mean, there was a point where I was literally saying, like, man, he's going to shoot us out of this game. But then on the flip side, you want Jalen Brunson taking shots, right? It's what he's done all season long, just he's not being efficient now. And that's a testament to the 76ers defense. You know, what I've been noticing with Brunson is he's trying to get into the paint. He's driving down, and he's getting to his spot. But just as he gets to his spot, he's getting bumped off by Kelly Oubre, who's either chasing him or Batum. And then what Philly is doing is they're creating a wall around him as soon as he basically comes to a stop. You'll see Embiid take a step up. You'll see some help defender come over as well. And it's hard for Jalen Brunson to pass out of that when they're just surrounding him like that. And we're seeing when he's trying to get his floater up, he's a little bit closer to the rim than he'd like to. And you're seeing those floaters basically hit the back iron and just bounce off. So that's one thing I noticed. What I'd like for them to do, run some more pick and rolls with Jalen Brunson. You know, Jalen Brunson and Iheart, try to get Embiid, you know, to come up and play. And maybe you get a switch, Embiid versus Brunson, which, you know, he doesn't want. Embiid, make him move laterally a little bit, you know, make him move left and right. Let him chase Brunson a little bit. I think getting a defender like that on Brunson will give him the opportunity to kind of create a little bit. And if not, it's going to force somebody to come over and leave a shooter open. Things like that, in my opinion.
Yeah. This is from Cleaning the Glass. I'm trying to figure out, like, where Brunson is shooting more, where he's shooting less. He's only shooting, this is the frequency. So he's shooting, these are the first couple of games. It's only been two games. But he's normally a good long mid-range, like a long mid-range jump shot shooter. And he's, you know, in game one, he only 8% of his shots were from long mid-range. Let's go to the accuracy, because we know JB has an elite mid-range. He knocks down his mid-range shots, and, you know, 41% game two, 18% in game one. It's just blue. These first couple of games are blue, and that's not good. You want these numbers to be orange, you know? And his efficiency field goal percentage hasn't been great. 48% in game one, 46% in game two. So, look, there's ways where he can get out of it. There's obviously he's gonna work through it, right? It's not gonna take him like, I feel like I'm really not concerned, but at the end of the day, like, we need to see the efficiency get better. Like, if it was 1-1, I would be like way more concerned. Like, if Philly won that game two, I'd be like, okay, Knicks got to get to the lab and figure some things out. They do. They still do. Like, I'm not, they still have to figure things out. Philly's going to throw everything at JB and whatnot. But I just feel like since the Knicks have a 2-0 lead, he can kind of like work his way through things. But, you know, he still needs, in my opinion, he just needs to scale it back a little bit, 20 to 25 shots, and just get Devo, you know, more shots, or OG Anunoby more shots. You know, let the game kind of come to you a little bit. If your shot isn't falling, you know, just pass it to Anunoby and Devo and Iheart. So, but yeah. I don't know, man. It's like Jalen Brunson. He's had such a great year, and for him, these first couple of games, to me, to like kind of, you know, we really haven't, like, if you think about it, we really haven't like criticized his offensive game, and now it's like he's been inefficient these first couple of games, and we're still winning. So we're kind of like trying to find ways to get him going again. And that's just a testament about how great of a player he is. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Because like I mentioned, and like all Knicks fans know, this is not the Jalen Brunson that we're accustomed to. You know, when he has a bad game, you're like, next game he's going to come out and he's going to do his thing. You know, in this case, game two, still struggled. So we're always going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because his body of work has proven that he's a superstar, man. And look, it's tough out there. You know, obviously he's the focal point when it comes to the 76ers. And they're going to go at him with everything they got. So, you know, again, for him dropping 20, again, inefficiently. But to me, that's still huge. You know, obviously we need every bit of it. And hopefully, you know, Tibbs, the coaching staff, and Brunson himself can figure out a way come game three where he can get to his spots better, probably, hopefully, with one less defender, and is able to get some shots to go in his favor, man. Because once he heats up, I think, you know, that'll be the nail in the coffin for the 76ers.
A kid from the Val says, real reason the Knicks are winning because Dante Hartenstein playing better than Tobias Lowry healed. Sixers roster is playing super bad. Yes, they're role players, man. They're not playing well at all. You know, Buddy Hield, MIA. Kyle Lowry still doing his little Kyle Lowry things, but what more can you want from Kyle Lowry? I mean, he's kind of like that veteran presence on the floor that knows how to like get calls in certain situations. And the Sixers, they, one thing they do a great job, Chris, is when the Knicks drive to the hoop, and they did this a lot in the first half, they strip the ball. Like, they're elite at stripping the ball from the Knicks, man. And this, there was times in the first half in game two where Lowry did it, Oubre did it, and I'm like, man. And there was a few times where, you know, the Knicks actually, they stripped it from the Knicks or Josh Hart or somebody, and it, you know, went off his leg, and I'm like, damn, they really, they do a great job at that. Kind of annoying, but one thing I noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seemed every single time the Knicks in game two drove to the basket, whether it was Hart, Devo, it didn't matter. Even Brunson, they were just stripping the ball, man. And I remember, you know, in the NBA, when you do that swiping motion like that, usually it's an automatic foul for the most part because you're coming across the wrist, you know, things like that. You're making contact. I don't understand how they're not called for more fouls in those scenarios. But yeah, it's annoying to say the least, man. Annoying.
It is. All right, this is from Joel Embiid, which is kind of, it kind of blew my mind. This, he said, quote, "This is worse than game seven." Joel Embiid comparing the Knicks loss to the 2019 Eastern Conference semifinals loss when Kawhi Leonard hit that big buzzer beater shot to pretty much ended the Philadelphia 76ers. He said this loss in game two was worse than that. I was like, wow, we're really in their head. Like, they're really in their locker room. Like, damn. What more can we do? They're really going through the emotions, man. Worse than games, worse than being sent home.
I find that contradicting when Embiid is there, you know, post game talking about we're the better team, we're going to win this series. And then you're going to say the loss is worse than game seven. That's a win or go home game where you got sent packing.
We're in the head, man. That's it.
Game two versus the Knicks, you know, is worse than that. In my opinion, what does that tell you? You know, that tells you they're checked out right now, in my opinion. You know, they've gone fishing in their heads, basically. I don't see how you can say we're going to win this series with a better team and then turn around and say, oh, man, it was worse than game seven versus Toronto.
Being sent
that
home
makes no sense to me, man.
Hey, whatever. Kid from Val with the super chat. Appreciate you. Damn, bro, this broadcast is so good. But as a Celtic fan, though, I ain't digging these wins. And yes, that is. What's going on, Val? Yeah, appreciate the super chat. But yeah, he's a Celtic fan. But Celtics are what? They should be all right with the Miami Heat. Heat doing some dirty things.
Yeah, Boston. Celtics are rolling, man. That, you know, in my eyes, I'm hoping for Celtics Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, man. That would be something, man.
That would be. All right, Philadelphia 76ers record when trailing 2-0 in a best of 7-6 series. They are 0-14. They haven't won. Yeah. So we're sitting pretty right now, guys. We're sitting pretty. Up 2-0. Job ain't finished, like Kobe Bryant said. What's there to be happy about? Job ain't finished, man. Job finished? Nah, it's not finished.
Can't,
you got to get to four. Like Hartenstein said it too. First to four, not first to two. So
yep. Can't lose sight of the bigger picture, right? You got to close out this series. Obviously, two more wins to go. But again, anything can happen. Look, we wouldn't be, you know, it's not like 100% that we're going to win this series just because we're up 2-0, right? We got to go in there, got to go in Philly. We got to steal one of those games and then hopefully close out the series, you know. But again, 76ers are going to not make it easy. They're going to come. They're going to battle. And just be ready, guys. It's going to be, like Ant said in the intro, a cage match.
Cage match indeed. Let's go, man. I'm excited. You know, bring it on. Game three in Philly is going to be absolutely crazy. Cage match. Knicks fans will travel down there. This was the last two-minute report. Don't want to spend too much time on it, but yeah. NBA pretty much incorrect calls included Brunson and Hart committing fouls on Maxey that were not called during the Sixers inbound with 27 seconds to go. You know, we how many times this year, Chris, have we been on the crappy end of the last 2 minute report? Like Maxi said, and I love Maxi's mentality. Maxi is so hard to hate on. Like, he is so humble. This kid is going to be a stud. I think he won most improved player, right? Just got announced.
Yeah, he did. He did. So,
like Maxi said, man, no excuses. They had two opportunities at the end of that. Knicks just fought their asses off there at the end and grab a rebound and the game's over. Point blank, Philly. That's it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I saw that clip too. You know, look, he's a good kid, man. He's a good kid and he's a great player. I mean, he was lighting up the Knicks, man. And he was, look, I'll be honest. He was cooking OG Anunoby, right? Again, with the speed, just getting in the paint, getting to his spots, doing his thing. Tyrese Maxey, he's a real one. He's not making any excuses. He's like, look, it is what it is. We got to be better. I can't turn over the ball in that scenario. You know, I love that. I love that, man. I mean, you know, I don't want to say too much nice things because obviously we're facing the 76ers.
Yeah,
know, right?
Yeah.
But he seems like, nah, he's good, you know, he's good. The type of player I don't mind rooting for. Not in this series, but maybe, you know, in the regular season when they're playing the Heat or something.
Buzzer Beater, what a super chat. Appreciate you, Buzzer Beater. Chris is right. Embiid preparing to lose it all. Boom. Buzzer Beater, appreciate you with the super chat, man. Always appreciate you hopping in here and supporting. Yeah, Chris. Well, what does he have to lose, man? I mean, you think about Embiid's career, right? It's always something. You know, it's always something with him. Great player. Just unfortunate. Those big guys, man. I mean, there's a reason why they get hurt a lot, and it stinks. But, hey, he's still giving you 30 and 10. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I wanted to bring up. I mean, look, he's hobbled and he's doing his damage in the first half. You know, he's going out there. He's putting up numbers, man. He's doing his thing. It's just that his body cannot sustain it. And, you know, look, that's the knock with Embiid, right? He has great regular seasons. When he gets to the postseason, the body is either broken down or breaks down. And that sucks, man. That sucks because this dude he's great, man. You're talking about an MVP. But for whatever reason, the 76ers just haven't figured it out. Whether that would be rest them in the regular season more. I mean, I know they try, but this dude, for whatever reason, he just breaks down and is not able to be fully healthy come playoff time. So look, that's a bad break for them, but he's doing everything he can. And quite frankly, it's his teammates, you know, outside of Tyrese Maxey. They're letting him down. Yeah. They are letting him down. He can't do it all by himself.
It's true. And look, Mitch and Hartenstein have done a great job. Mitch in game one, Hartenstein in game two. Kind of, you know, he wants, like Chris said, the Philadelphia 76ers want to get him involved early. You're seeing as the game progresses, Joel Embiid is not the same, not the same player as within the first 12 minutes of the game. His knee's not right. I mean, he's jogging down the court. He didn't grab a rebound, I think, in the fourth or the second half in game two. So, look, wear him out. You know, I kind of want the Knicks to be more physical with him. I thought in the first half in game two, they weren't more physical with him. I kind of want them to bump him a little bit more. You know, make it uncomfortable for him. Just make it uncomfortable. Yeah. I thought a lot of times it was kind of easy for him. And he's going to get his calls. I mean, I'm already like expecting him to go to the free throw line 12 to 15 times a game. Yeah. He's big. He's going to flail all over the place. And he's going to get his calls. And that's what helps him too. But our guys, man, Hartenstein and Mitch, they're doing a great job on him. They really have been.
Yeah. I mean, look, honestly, I'm surprised that Mitch has done – as well. Look, again, I know Embiid is hobbled. He's not 100%, but, you know, Mitch usually struggles with bigger guys that can shoot from the outside, you know, take you off the dribble, you know. Yeah. That's not really Mitch's strong suit, and he's been doing a hell of a job on Embiid in the minutes that he's played against him, especially game one. He just shut down Embiid at the end of that game. And Ihart, man, look, I was nervous after game one. Ihart did not look good, man. He was getting cooked by Embiid. The effort just I felt like, let me not say the effort, but the production we're used to getting from Ihart just wasn't there. Game two, totally different. I mean,
yeah.
Ihart was another guy who was undershadowed, obviously, by the end of that game. But if it wasn't for Ihart, man, that also could have turned out completely different. If it wasn't for him hitting those floaters in the paint like we were accustomed to seeing him doing, you know, who knows? You know, the 76ers probably run away with that game. But yeah, man, like, I'm excited, man. I can't wait for game three. You know, it's going to be a split stadium, in my opinion. You know, Knicks fans travel well to Philly. I'm sure they're going to be there. And look, man, it's gonna be a battle, man. It's going to be a battle.
This is from Kendrick Perkins. I thought I would bring it up. This is from, because I think Tom Thibodeau was voted as, you know, the least coach you likely to play, like to play for, and like the NBA Athletic did a stupid poll that they did. And Kendrick Perkins responded right after the game. He said, and another thing before I move on, all these soft ass players that said they wouldn't want to play for Thibs. Guess what? Thibs don't want to coach y'all cupcake asses either. Carry on. That's from Kendrick Perkins. Shout out to Big Perk. Always riding with the Knicks.
I love
that. That was hilarious when I saw that. I was like, wow, I feel like getting that tweet framed and just putting it like right here on my wall. That was crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, look, that I don't get it. I don't get that. You don't want to play for a coach who's historically been a winner. I mean, look, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a stigma that won't go away, right?
Yeah, I don't care anymore. I really don't. Like, whenever I see those stupid polls and, like, I don't, whatever. Big Taz says, Buzzer Beater says, excuse me, Brunson was not a finalist for any awards. Mad face. Yeah, I think he got some most improved. I think he got like a second place most improved player. He wasn't going to win it, but guys, I mean, this is what we've been dealing with, and it sucks. It really does suck, you know? Eventually, they'll catch on, guys. That's all I got to say is eventually they'll catch on. If the Knicks keep on doing their thing in the playoffs, how can you not respect, you know, Brunson, or how can you not, you know, I think DiVincenzo was like 90 seconds away from being qualified for the most improved player, which was a stupid rule in itself that needs to change.
That's crazy.
So it's coming. It's coming. One of our guys will win a major award. I think by next year it's coming. Buzzer Beater says, Anthony, what was it like being at the game? How much were the seats? Chris and I were at game one, and it was absolutely crazy. Like, honestly, if you guys haven't been to an MSG playoff game, I highly recommend it. I know it's pricey. I got in before, like, I think I got in when they released the tickets. I think it was on Ticketmaster at 12 p.m. I was like waiting. I was like waiting for my opportunity. I think I spent like two something per seat. But look, our section was awesome. Everyone was high-fiving each other. People didn't really – I think the guy next to us said, oh, was one of you Knicks Nation? So we got, you know, kind of noticed a little bit, which was pretty cool. But yeah, it's crazy. And then after the game, it was a mosh pit. Absolute mosh pit. We couldn't move. Almost lost Chris there.
Almost got trampled.
Yeah, they're like I said, those idiots that were burning the Embiid jersey, we don't condone that crap. Like, it's just a few bad apples, but game two was more of the same. I didn't go to game two, but I mean, I can buzzer beat. I highly recommend going to a playoff game. It was absolutely crazy. So
yeah. Definitely, if you get the chance to, definitely do it. That was my first Knicks playoff game at MSG, and it was electric, man. The entire stadium, like, just the reactions to literally everything going on in that court, it was insane. And look, the game was crazy, and it's just an emotional roller coaster, but I definitely recommend anyone who gets the chance and is lucky enough to go to one of these playoff games, do it, man. It's an experience you'll never forget.
The Knicks will go up 3-0 if what, Chris? What needs to happen on Thursday, game three in Philadelphia, for us to take a commanding 3-0 lead, a stranglehold on this series, kind of sending Philadelphia in a panic and kind of ending their season? What needs to happen?
The Villanova Knicks come to Philly and feel right at home in that stadium and just destroy the 76ers, man. That's what I think is going to happen, in my opinion. Obviously, it's going to be a tough battle. But look, again, that Villanova connection comes back. DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and especially Brunson are familiar with the 76ers' home, what they call home, which I believe will be half pro Knicks, half Sixers. I think we're going to take care of business, man. I think they're all going to show up and put on performances for the ages, man.
I do too. I think this is our big Brunson game in game three. I think this is where we get the big game. I think it's going to be, I don't know, the Phillies are going to throw a lot at the Knicks. I think the Knicks are underdogs by like 4.5 points already. Phillies favored by like 4.5 points. So Vegas is fully expecting like Philly to come out the gates guns a-blazing. But hey, man, if we continue to do what we do, if Brunson's efficient, OG Anunoby's game is going on, if our bench is outplaying their bench, Bogdanovich, Deuce, if we're just out hustling them and out, I mean, we're more physical than them. I mean, I think we can go up 3-0, and then it starts to get a little bit crazy in here, especially if we go up 3-0. That was crazy. But the up to 50 votes, everyone's thinking Knicks in 5. So Knicks have a 2-0 series, then 2-0 lead in the series. How long will this series go? Knicks in 4, Knicks in 5, Knicks in 6. Knicks in 7, 50% is at Knicks in 5. Buzzer Beater says that footage you posted was the Knicks video of the year. Yeah, it was crazy, man. Crazy out there in MSG. And it's going to get crazier if we keep advancing. Trust me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, they get creative out there, so.
Ready for some trivia?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
So I am 1-1. Chris is 2-0. It's my turn to ask Chris a trivia question. Every podcast, we do a little trivia. We didn't do it in our previous episode, which was audio only. So if you haven't done so, check that out. Yeah, Chris, got a question for you.
Hit me.
Who was the first player in NBA history to make 200 three-pointers in a season? Was it A, Jamal Crawford? B, J.R. Smith? C, Carmelo Anthony? Or D, John Starks? Damn. Who was the first player in NBA history to make 200 three-pointers in a season?
Wow, first player in NBA history? Okay. Right off the bat, I'm going to cross out Carmelo because I would have known if it was Carmelo off the rip.
So you have A, you crossed out Carmelo. So you have A, Jamal Crawford, B, J.R. Smith, or D, John Starks.
Kind of tied with J.R. Smith and John Starks, man. Because I remember J.R. hitting a lot of threes. I'm going to go B, J.R. Smith.
Final answer?
Final answer.
So again, the question was, who was the first player in NBA history to make 200 three-pointers in a season? You're going to go with J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, Chris, is the wrong answer.
Oh, man.
It is. Who is? John Starks. D, John Starks.
I was close, man. I was close. Crawford too.
217 three-pointers during the 1994-1995 NBA season broke Louis Dampier's single season professional NBA or ABA record of 199 during the 68-69 ABA season. Dennis Scott broke Starks' record a year later with 267. So Starks was the first player in NBA history to make 200 threes in a season. Crazy.
Man. You always hear about the dunk, right? Why don't they talk about that some more? Like, that's dope. That's dope. Shout out to John Starks.
We bring knowledge to the pod, man. That's why you got to listen.
Talking about John Starks, man. Did you see him in game two, man?
Oh, out man, there, he was just going crazy. Nuts, man.
I love that, man. I love seeing him, Melo, you know. Who else was out there? Spree was out there as well. We saw Tim Thomas as well out there. Yo, that was dope, man. I love seeing that.
Starks is going crazy with Melo. Every playoffs last year he was doing it. He does a flopping signal to Embiid, to the referees. I love it, man. I love seeing those guys out there. But hey, man, it's gonna be fun down in Philly. Take the Amtrak down there. Get down there. Game three is gonna be fun. What's your prediction, man? You think we could pull it out? Go up 3-0? I don't know, man. I don't know about this one. I feel like we can, but it's gonna be tough.
I'll tell you what, man. The way that game two ended, and look, you're seeing, you know, Embiid talking about we're gonna win this series, but then on the flip side, this is worse than the game seven loss to Toronto. Look, man, I think they're gonna be pressing, and I think that's gonna affect them. You know, all the pressure is on them to protect their, you know, their home arena. And look, I think that's going to be to their disadvantage. If they step up and prove me wrong, so be it. But I think the Knicks have a real opportunity here, man, to go up 3-0 in this series, man.
Let's go.
I really do.
Let's go up 3-0.
But that's going to all depend on Jalen Brunson and how he comes out, man.
But would it? 29%, 2-0 without him. No, I think so. I think so. But I think Brunson's going to have a big game.
I still think we need that one game at least where Jalen Brunson just takes over and wins us the game.
It's coming.
It's coming.
We've seen it all year. It's going to come. All right. Got that little bit of autograph read. Deuce McBride. They're giving away a Deuce McBride jersey in the autograph app. The link will be in the bio, in the show notes, if you're listening to it on Apple and Spotify. Autograph is where real fans get unreal rewards by bringing the best content for your team into one place. Autograph is the first app that can recognize and reward fans, turning their passion into access and experience. The Knicks Nation podcast is on Autograph. You can catch all our content and different Knicks creators content in the Autograph app. They are giving away a Deuce McBride signed jersey in the app. All you have to do is download the app and use code NYK to get access. And yeah, so shout out to Autograph. Get those entries in. That Deuce McBride jersey. I want that.
Damn. I would love Deuce McBride jersey.
I want that.
All right, I want guys. Too many jerseys, man.
This was fun. This was fun. Episode 47 in the books. We'll be back on Friday doing another podcast after the game. So appreciate every single one of you in here. Appreciate the super chats. As always, I'm Anthony.
I'm Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.